We're in a series called I Prophesy. And this series is so key to you becoming who you're designed to be. Today we're talking about the testimony of Jesus. I'm going to read here in just a few moments that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And that as a believer, you and I, by God's grace, has given to you and I the opportunity to carry his testimony on his behalf. And he wants you to know you're that powerful. Let's be clear. If you don't know that, let me let you know who does know that. The devil knows you're that powerful. He don't like your potential. He does not like the idea that you're going to step up and agree with the Lord on who you are and allow the Lord to be the source in your life of who you are. He don't like that. And so he's coming every day with many voices to remind you of your past. Because if he can get you to think about anything in your past, that's the platform by which fear works. And it will captivate you. It will imprison you. And so the enemy does not want you to hear what's about to be said here. But I'm going to talk about what God's doing in my life and how it's impacting my life. And I just know that our Father is so into you. He's going to help you get what you need today. And the seed's going to be planted in your heart. It's going to be watered. Amen. Good things are about to happen on your behalf because you're so special to him. During this series, we have learned that prophecy is seeing ourselves and seeing others from God's perspective, from his eyes. That's what prophecy is. When you begin to look at it correctly, is being able to see what God sees about others as well as your own personal identity. God's perspective of who we are is personal. Amen. And he wants you to know that the voices of the enemy wants to skew everything about who you are. All believers, every one of us, should know these truths. And everybody agree that truth will make you free, right? God's perspective is always the right perspective. That's the truth. It'll make you free. Whether you understand it or not, if you go with it, it will make you free. And in time, as you walk in faith and you trust God with it, you'll begin to understand a little bit more about why that truth is so important to you. Another truth, the way God sees us is the truth. It's not like, oh, man, God just, you know, trying to make me feel better. No, he wants you to enjoy feeling better, but he's telling the truth about who you are, and you're powerful. God's point of view is reality. That's the truth. And that truth will make you free. Prophecy is a gift of the Spirit. And God wants every one of you to have that gift. Amen? God's perspective is spiritually discerned. You cannot get his perspective through logic. You can study the Bible logically. You can try to memorize it. You can get to where you can quote it. And you can't know God that way. It's spiritually discerned. Those moments when you get this, I don't know how I know this, I can't explain it, but I know it. Now you and God are tapping in. Amen. And what God is pleased with is when we have faith on what we can't explain and we go with it. That's how we move into a level of trusting God. Trusting God is how we worship God. And there's going to be times that he wants to use your mouth, the most unruly member in your body, to be his mouthpiece. And he's going to want to love on somebody. He's going to want to encourage somebody. And you're going to think, Lord, if I do that, I'm going to look foolish. And that temptation, because you see it from the lens of, I might look foolish if I do this, is coming. But do we love him? And when we love him, we step out by faith, regardless of our reputation, because we love him. And we return that love to him by loving on others. We make it about God, and we make it about others, and we take ourselves out of the picture. That's how you can come to be passionate about being more concerned about the needs of others than yourself. You know that's in the Bible. And the next verse says, this is the mind of Christ. When I'm more concerned about God's will, amen, and your identity, and you being blessed, then I'm all about my own needs. Guess what happens? My needs get taken care of. Fulfillment comes my way. When I give mercy, I get mercy back. When I give love, I get it back in waves, because that's how I love my God, is by loving my brothers and sisters. Is this okay? Is this tracking with you? So prophecy is personal and spiritual in that it happens in dreams, it happens in visions, it happens in prophetic words. Prophecy is by grace, not by intuition, not by logic. It can never be earned. Not possible. You see, when we approach prophecy with the idea that we must be qualified to be able to minister, everybody thought, well, when I get ready, when I get right, when I get all my ducks in a row, then I'm going to be used by God. What in essence is happening is we think that performance is how God, amen, accepts us, instead of grace, instead of the fact that he saw us 2,000 years before we existed, and he was just as happy about us then as he is now about us. God's grace and our willingness to be used by his Spirit makes prophecy a gift of the Spirit, and remember that that's good. That's awesome. And so in Revelations 19 and 7, John is trying to get his feet under him as it relates to how he sees the bride of Christ and how he sees the kingdom of God. And in this passage, John is having a vision, a revelation from heaven. And by the way, for all of y'all that read the book of Revelation and think it's weird, probably all the weirdness came from all the end-time prophecies that are about it. That's where all the weirdness came. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I had to pause there for a minute for effect. It's nothing more than that. This book is called the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's revealing himself, amen, to John. And John is courteous enough to write it down so that we can consider how God reveals himself to John. Amen. And I know some of the things you see in the visions that he's writing down, man, that's kind of weird. That's kind of spooky. It's not about weird and it's not about spooky. It's about knowing him or getting a revelation of him. And so in chapter 19, John is still getting his feet under him about the bride of Christ and, amen, how the bride of Christ is impactful in the earth. Let's read here in verse 7. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory. The angel's telling John this. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. I want to pause there for a minute so that everybody catches this. Among most believers, if not many of them, they think this marriage supper is going to happen in the future. Now, let me tell you what's wrong with that. You ready? Just make it simple, because God is not an abomination to his own principles and precepts, is he? There's babies being born today. People are being born again. In order for there to be a birth, there must be a marriage first, a covenant. That covenant happened 2,000 years ago when he finished it on the cross. He made a way, amen, for us now to be members of his body. And come on, what man towards his wife ever hated his own body? Is this okay? Amen. We're not getting married. We're already married. And if you want to be a part of the bride, here the angel shows John how the bride makes herself ready. Amen. For those that are not a part of the bride today, the angel's revealing to John that he grants her it was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Amen. I'm just going to pause here to give you a quick update on what that really is talking about. Is there anything that you can do to deserve Jesus? Ain't nothing you can do to deserve Jesus. It's not your works that's going to save you. Everybody that is a part of the kingdom of God and lives eternally with him are there because of the grace of God, right? So what is the righteous deeds of the saints here? You know, it's one thing to hear God. It's another thing to go with God on it, right? Is this okay? And so when the message was preached in Acts chapter 2, this is that which was spoken by the prophets Joel. And in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And he begins to preach Jesus. They were convicted in their spirit, and they asked the questions, what shall we do? Putting on fine linen, the righteous deeds of the saints, is when you decide that I'm repenting from the way I think now to the way God thinks. I'm going to change the way I think so that I can live differently. And so you adopt the truth that makes you free. That's repentance. When you repent, you're putting on fine linen. When you go down in the water and you're baptized into Christ, you're putting on fine linen. Come on. You got to get this. Amen. When you come up out of the water, not only does he baptize you in water, in his name, but he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The bride prepares herself when she repents. And she says, ah, he's going to be my husband. I'm going to do it his way. I'm going to take his name. Ah, I'm going to lose this old name I had, and I'm going to take on his name. That's the righteous deeds of the saints. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back to be glorified in them that believed on him through their words. What was their words? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's important you know this, because as we read here now, verse 9, the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's everybody on the earth has been invited. Every time you give good news to somebody and you carry the good news, right? That invitation's given to them. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, you must not do that. Why? The angel's telling John, I'm your fellow servant with you and your brothers. Notice what he qualifies there. He says, you and your brothers are they who hold the testimony of Jesus. I'm a ministering servant to you because you hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. How do we do that? For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus in your life is the spirit of prophecy. You may not be a prophet, but that don't mean you can't prophesy. You may not walk in the office of the prophet so that you equip the church, but as a believer, you hold the testimony of Jesus, the prophet within, and you become subject to his spirit. And your mouthpiece is his mouthpiece. That tongue becomes his tongue. And when he touches your life and you have robed yourself and you've clothed yourself, you prepared yourself in fine linen, you said, yes, Lord, I belong to you. I'll say what you say and I'll do what you do. Now, the testimony of Jesus Christ is being put on display. You become salty. You become light. You preserve everything around you. You bring flavor to everything you touch because you carry the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. Everybody you touch, they're encouraged, they're edified, they're built up. Amen. They believe now that this must be God because God's been trying to get through to me that I'm special to him, but somebody has come and validated, confirmed, and edified my life by convincing me that the Lord is talking to me. I am special to him. He does love me. I don't have to be beat up no more. Amen. God's given to you and I this privilege of clothing ourselves. Paul says it this way to the Corinthians in chapter 2, verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Your natural man, this brain up here, it can't get it and ain't going to get it. So quit trying to think that you're going to ever figure God out. It's not possible, right? The spirit person, hold on, this is important. The spirit person in you, The part that the Holy Spirit touches is your spirit, and that's what's reborn, not your brain. When His Spirit touches your spirit, something happens. Life comes, and now the order of communication is from here to here. That's when He's Lord of Lord in His house. That's when He's the King in His kingdom, and His kingdom is within you, right? The spirit person, this is the ready, born-again believer, judges all things, but he himself is to be judged by no one, for he has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. So we're clear today on the fact that figuring God out and understanding Him and coming through me is going to come by you and Him having an experience together, right? I should be confirming right now what you and God has already been experiencing together this past week. If I'm not already confirming something that you and God have been, and you're driving down the road and God's talking to you, and you got to pull over on the side of the road and you're having an experience with Him. You're in your prayer closet. It don't matter where you're at. But through the week, there's rendezvous with you and God. What I'm saying today should bring confirmation to what's been going on in your life the past week. Because I'm not the revelator. I'm not the revealer. I'm not the one that's got God figured out. None of us do. But I am, and I have the spirit of prophecy in me. And God is talking through me right now, and He's connecting with you. And if you are not finding any confirmation, then this is what's going on. Your DNA, your true DNA, the true identity of you, amen, from God's lens, you're saying, I don't know, I can't figure it out, but I know that's the truth. I can't tell you why I know, but I'm sensing God's talking right now, and I need to be paying attention. Maybe you wasted all last week and you didn't have no rendezvous with God. You didn't pay attention to what He's saying. You know, His mercies are new every morning. And today you got up and you're alive because His mercies are fresh and new today. And you may have wasted all last week, but He ain't mad at you. Which is my first point. It's a very important point for you. We're going to talk about three mindsets today that promote, amen, the testimony of Jesus Christ in your life. And the number one mindset you need to realize is He's not mad at you. You've dropped a ball. I'm going to just tell you, I thank God I had a good earthly father. Amen. He didn't throw me away with dirty diapers. He kept me around. And I still messed up the diapers. And He didn't quit. And I was perfect at my stage of growth from Him, from His lens. I was burping up on Him and Mama, but they didn't throw me away. And as I grew and I got to the first grader level, I was perfect as a first grader. And I still couldn't count like I needed to, and I couldn't write like I needed to, but they didn't throw me out. Anybody catching this yet? God wants you to know, even though you make mistakes, even though you drop the ball and you make bad decisions, He's not mad at you. He's already covered it with His blood. And learning how to receive from Him on a regular basis is the rendezvous I'm talking about through the week. When you leave here today, you should be full today. When you go out and get in your car, God should be, amen, available in your spirit to talk to you as you drive down the road, as you sit at the table in your house and you talk to your children, as you walk by the way and you lay down at night, you need to be open to having a rendezvous with heaven. Because that's who you are. That's your identity. You're special to Him, and He's got great big plans for you. So, but many hold the idea that God uses prophecy to expose sin in their life. And because their view of prophecy is skewed by this kind of a lens, their willingness to receive prophecy is skewed as well. I don't know if I want to hear from God. I don't want Him to tell me what's wrong with me. And I think He's mad at me right now because I messed up and I said the wrong thing to my spouse and I acted the wrong way. And anybody know what I'm talking about? And so the enemy comes to us with many voices letting us know, God ain't got time for you. You just a big old mess up, man. Didn't you know better than to say that? No, I didn't. I just, I'm a blue thinker. I didn't mean to it. I messed up. And the enemy will take something with no ill intent whatsoever in it and make it, you a bad person. And God is mad at you. So don't expect to hear from God for a while. Has anybody ever heard those voices before? And you said, well, I don't know if it's voices, but you said it to yourself. How did you get that knowledge? How did you come up with the idea that you're a bad person? Who told you that? That you deserve to be spanked and put in time out, and you need to do penance for so long before God will ever even consider thinking about talking to you again. Where did those voices, or where did those mindsets come from? Amen. If you don't know this today, know this. If you don't want to hear from God, God is not going to force his gifts and his blessings on you if you don't want them. Do you know the devil knows that? So he wants you to not want to hear from God because you're afraid of God, because God's mad at you. And as long as he can keep you in that posture, everything that you're powerful about and everything that makes you so valuable and such a treasure to God, he gets to take advantage of that power and build his kingdom. That's how powerful you are. He don't want you to live up to who God says you are. If you find it difficult today to allow the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy, to work in your heart, the first thing you should know is God is not mad at you. That's important. Did y'all know that prophecy from the Old Testament to the New Testament changed? Y'all know that? And that the idea of prophecy in the Old Testament was the Lord would speak and he would reveal the sins of Israel, not for evil, but he was wanting to call Israel back into covenant, back into alignment with him. He did it because he wanted Israel to understand his purpose and his grander goals, amen, for them in the earth as his people. And so he would declare to them through a prophet, this is your sins. I'm going to judge you now. I'm going to give you some love. I'm going to spank you real good so you can get back in line and know I love you. That's the way it worked in the Old Testament. But then the cross happened. And when the cross happened, he paid the debt off. And Adam is not going to have to deal with the fact that he's in his fallen nature without the presence of God being in his life. Now, because of the cross, Adam can be resurrected. Adam can be redeemed back to his true identity. And by coming back into fellowship with God, instead of Elijah coming to your door and knocking on it, amen, and prophesying to you, now you have the Spirit of Christ on the inside. The testimony of Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of prophecy in you now. That's a capital P prophet. Because of the cross. Is anybody catching this? Elijah don't have to come remind you of your sin. The Holy Spirit reminds you of what sin is. The Holy Spirit convicts you of what judgment is. The Holy Spirit is talking to you direct because the spirit of the prophet is within you. And the church needs to catch this. It's so important. Because now when I prophesy to you or you prophesy to me, what we're doing now to one another is encouraging each other. We're confirming, we're validating what the spirit of the prophet in us is saying. And we're getting this, oh my goodness, man, God loves me. My brother just encouraged me. My brother just edified me. My brother just built me up. And it becomes easy now because we lock arms together and we bear one another's burdens because we all know we need Jesus. Every day, but he isn't mad at nobody. He's in love with us, and he believes in you, and he trusts you with all the stuff that you've had to deal with in your life, every pain, every storm, everything that you've dealt with. This is not fair. He trusted you with it because he knew it was going to bring you to a place of humility and brokenness to where you would receive him. And when you received him, he was going to bring you joy back. Like you never had it before. He was going to bring peace back like you never experienced it before. He was going to bring back a knowing that you never had about who you are. I know that I know that I know that I'm innocent because he made me innocent and he covered it all. We're serving a good God, ladies and gentlemen. For you that still wrestle with the idea that God's mad at you, let me encourage you a little bit further. The stuff that the enemy keeps making you feel like belongs to you does not belong to you. Jesus says to the religious group, not to be mean to them. He was not being unkind to them. I know some people interpret it that way. But he tells the religious group, and they're seeking answers too. They need Jesus too. And he says, you're of your father the devil, and his deeds you do. He's given them a revelation if they'll just hold for a minute and consider. All the stuff that you know is wrong in your life don't belong to you. It belongs to the one that fathered it in your life. Did y'all get that? Anything that's not right, that don't equal Jesus in you, it was fathered by another spirit. Give it back to it. Well, you know why I say that? Because there's only one good, and that's God. And everything that's good belongs to who? But the enemy wants to tempt you to make you think, oh, I'm a good person. No, your identity is Christ, and he's a good person. But he wants you to try to do good things and take credit for good things, which when we get up there and we stand before God, wherever that is, we're all going to say in unison, look what the Lord has done. We don't take any credit for the good, do we? So why are you letting the enemy convince you to take credit for the evil? You know why you do that? Because it's his goal to make you think God's mad at you. And that house belongs to Jesus. He purchased it 2,000 years ago with his blood. Is anybody catching this? That you don't belong to yourself. You belong to him. He purchased you with his blood. Know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're the temple of the prophet. You're the temple of the source of all life. You're not your own. You've been bought with the price of his blood. And all he's asking in return is to receive him. So every day I get up, I have the opportunity to receive God. Not because I'm good, but because God says I'm his treasure and that he loves me because he's good. I can get up and know he's happy about the process I am because I'm coming to him more and more. And he's making his rule in my life. And the dominion that he designed for Adam to have in the beginning has been given back to redeemed Adam when we're born again of spirit and of fire. Man, I don't know about y'all, but that encourages my spirit to know that God is not mad at me. Amen? The second important point that will help you begin to be able to support the testimony of Jesus in your life is that God's perspective of you is full and complete. Yeah, somebody's going to get dressed today. Somebody's going to put on the garment. Somebody's going to put on the fine linen, that is. They're going to make a decision, then I'm answering the call to the marriage supper. I'm going to be a part of the bride of Christ, not tomorrow, but today. Because God sees me as full and complete. God isn't looking at you in the state that you are today with the idea of progressive sanctification taking place in your life. Do y'all know progressive sanctification is not true? But yet most of us think God's getting me ready or I'm trying to get myself ready. And he got silent at New Life Fellowship. Because the tempter is coming every day. And to let you know you're not ready yet, you're not ready yet. And then he'll finally convince you that's God talking. That you're in a progressive sanctification mode. And that sooner or later, one of these days, you might be able to be who he says you are. But today, you're exactly who he says you are. And it's time for you to understand that he sees you full and complete. Regardless of what stage of growth that you're at, he loves you right where you are. And you can accept his mercy and his grace today. And you can have fun playing in Daddy's playground. Amen? Anybody want to do that today? We're coming as kids, right? God looks at each of us as he intends us to be. Amen. God does not see us the way we see. You know what he told the prophet Samuel? He said, hey, man, when you go over there to anoint the king, remember, when you look at Jesse's boys, don't look at their statue. Don't look at the outward appearance, because I've already rejected that outward appearance. I see the heart. God sees what he's after. That's why everybody in this room, everybody in this city, everybody in this world is God's treasure. And you and I have been asked by heaven to steward his his treasure, to love people so that they can know we're his disciples. I don't know about y'all, but that's good stuff. When we desire to see God as God sees us, we'll be drawn to others. What happens when we desire to see from his lens who we are? Automatically, we'll begin to have thoughts about other people that are good thoughts. We'll start seeing images and pictures will come to our hearts. Amen. So because we want to see ourselves from his lens, we can't help but see others, and we got to go encourage them, build them up, remind them that they're special, that God let them live today because he's passionate about them, and he wants them to be happy. Amen. I remember when, as a young man, we just started this work 26 years ago, and I'm preaching and, man, feeling the Lord and encouraging people, and I don't know why they came other than the fact that the Lord drew them there, because I certainly didn't. And when I'm ministering, the Lord impresses me to prophesy. And because of the presence of God was so strong, I did it. Anybody ever needed God to help you do something? You know he's a helper. He sends the helper to remind you of everything he ever said. And so while I'm ministering, and I thought it was a pretty good thought to God again, but he changes and he says, I want you to prophesy now. And I just stepped and I said, the Lord just told me to tell you that he's going to give us property. And man, everybody in that little building jumped up out of their seats. It's like scared me almost. And I didn't realize what was going on until I kept preaching. I mean, I'm trying to say, man, wow. I said, Dad, I want to say that again, see if they'll jump again. I mean, everybody jumped up. Yeah. Man, this is a spirit-filled church here. After service, the Lord's letting me know. He said, I'd already spoken to their spirit, and you confirmed what I'd already put in their hearts. And they jumped up. And that gave me such a knowing that God said that, and they knew God said that. And we're standing today, when you stand and you're sitting right now, on the property that he gave us. And it was a miracle. We ain't got time to tell that story, but you'll hear the story. God is at work doing the miraculous, and there's no way you're going to be able to explain it, but you can walk in it, you can experience it, you can see his fingerprint at work. Amen. And I'm so appreciative of his love for us. And so loving God with all your heart is being willing to look foolish and take what appears to be a risk for him while serving others. We learn as we respond. Come on, you got to get this. You're not just going to jump up and just prophesy. You got to trust God and go with what he's doing inside your spirit and trust him with it and let his reputation be what you stand on. It's important. In Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Wow. Constant practice. I don't know about y'all, but I pretty much do know because you're a spirit being. And you face the fact that people you love and that you're connected with, you don't want them hurting, do you? Does everybody agree with that? You don't want those you love hurting. And so when I see depression on someone, when I see loneliness, when I see frustration, when anxiety, and the list goes on, that's beating up someone I love, what about God in me wants to go and encourage them, right? And so discerning that they're being beat up, not by themselves necessarily, but there is a spirit that's working against them, getting them to believe something that's not true, holding them in that prison to where they can't be, you know, God's son and daughter. Oh, constant practice. Instead of petting them, you address it in love. You give them a big hug from heaven. Amen. And you prophesy into their life what God has to say about them in their loneliness, in their frustration, in their depression. It don't belong to them. They can come out of it ASAP right now because the Lord's not willing for them to stay there. Practice, practice. There's enough people hurting around that you love. If you will let the testimony of Jesus Christ have rule in your heart, you will begin to edify, strengthen, encourage, build up everybody around you. It's in you. It's your identity. It's who you are. Guess what your identity is? Christ. You're the Jesus he's wanting to use right now. You're in his name. He's the head. We're the body. And we're tending to his business, correct? And so Paul tells Timothy this way. He said in 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy with the council of elders when they laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. What are they going to see? They're going to see Jesus at work in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, as a believer, the Lord's calling you to go with him on this journey as he calls Adam out of the grave, that fallen Adam. He's calling him out of the grave, giving him life, redeeming him back to his true identity to do what? To walk with the voice of God and to tend to God's business. That's who you are. You're God's Adam. You're God's man. You're God's son. And he wants you to tend to his business. Amen. Third mindset, and I close with this. This mindset supports the testimony of Jesus Christ. And if you really want to support it, number three is safety is in accountability. Safety is in accountability. Divine coordination is key when carrying the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have to coordinate with God. We're in continual coordination. Prophetic ministry cannot be done on our own. Accountability and teamwork is a mandate from God himself. God designed his kingdom so we're protected and covered through relational connections. Sean, I need you. I got to be connected. There's a part of Jesus that's so needed in my life that you carry. And you can protect me. You can cover me. And the list goes on around here how you and I can serve one another by protecting each other and the interest of heaven. God wants his body to get in unity, in one mind, in one heart. Why? Because we carry his testimony. And that testimony is the spirit of prophecy. Anybody getting revelation on prophecy today? Amen. Your spouse needs you to prophesy to them every day. Your spouse needs you to talk to their hearts, encourage them every day. Acts 13:1, that they were in the church in Antioch, prophets and teachers. You get a chance to read this chapter. All these prophets and teachers, they worshiped and they were together. They were in relationships. They were members of the body, not two and three bodies of Christ. There's only one body. They were members together in the same body. Why is this important? Because when you and I take on the role of Long Ranger, everybody have done that before? We're doing our best as Long Ranger to live for God and do for God, but we're not accountable to anyone. What happens is, in that role, we become rude, we become weird, we become spooky. Oh, you've seen people that are in their faith in God that are weird, spooky, rude. Amen. Teachers that are not accountable eventually will teach some goofy stuff. Prophets that are not accountable, they eventually will begin to say things that are weird and think it's from God and it's not from God. That's how the enemy will play us. If he can detach us from the body, blood flow stops. Take one of your members of your body, detach it. See how long it lives. Leave it off, and you can't reattach it. Eventually, it'll decay, and it's gone. Every member must be attached to the body. There's accountability for every member in this body. Prophets and teachers were together in the church. We need God, and in needing God, we need each other. Amen? Psalms 92 tells us the righteous flourish where? In verse 12, like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. Every one of us flourishes when we're together. Prophets are known and are relationally connected. Now, the prophetic Prophetic people will often come and say, I got a word from God, and I got to say it right now. But their accountability and their covering says, hold the word. And I've seen it happen before. I can't. God told me. And God said, I got to say it right now. No. If you're undercover and if you're accountable, you can hold the word. Why? Because it's teaching you how to be in unity and one mind and one accord. Matter of fact, you can hold the word and give it at the right time. Matter of fact, you don't have to be the one to give it if you're in a prophetic. You can go give the word to someone else and they can go carry it to where it needs to go. And guess what? God will work. Why? Because it's not about us. It's about Him. It's never about us. It's always about God. It's all about His kingdom, His name, His identity that we carry. Prophetic ministry is a powerful ministry, and it edifies, it exhorts, it builds up. Paul is telling the church, he says, I would that you prophesied, because when you prophesy, it edifies the church. He said, when you speak in tongues, it edifies you. When you pray in the Spirit, you get edified. That's awesome. That's great. But more than that, that you prophesy. Because when you prophesy, everybody around you gets built up. They get strengthened. They get edified.